Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, we start this class. This is the series one, the first class. What does God require of you? In order to submit to the truth, submit to God, we have to first know what God wants us to do. So what is God's heart toward us? Because if we don't know what God requires of us, we may just have a wrong zeal. We consider we have been done very well, but in fact, we may just totally turn aside or turn away from the Lord. So this class, we do have some note in your folder, so please follow the note. I will just give us some reflection about what we can receive from the Bible. So the class actually is based on two verses. First is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the God, the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. So this is a long sentence. As a requirement, is what does the law, your God, require of you? And this requirement actually is for your good. Okay, so Deuteronomy, this is the Moses' words to the children people of God before they enter the promised land. And this should be, this must become their principle after they dwell in the promised land, so they know what God wants them to do. So it's very important. And we can see from the history of Israel, the kingdom of God actually could not hold on this requirement. In the very beginning, they were good. But year by year, one generation after another, they turn to very corrupted. They turn away from the Lord, from their heart, and then follow their conduct, their deeds, just so far away from the Lord. So in the Micah chapter 6, so Micah, the minor prophet, is about 300 years later from the King David. So this is from Moses' time. It's how many years already? Moses is about 1,400 BC. And Micah is about 700 something. So you can see about 700 or 800 years later. Again, God gave his requirement, his heart to reveal his heart to the Israelites. In chapter 6, verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If we connect these two verses together, we can see, actually, they are talking about the same thing. But in Moses' time, it's more details. And in the Micah, it's just briefly just separate into three categories, three aspects. So for today, now we after Jesus came into this world and revealed us the salvation, and he also taught us what is the essence, why God give us the commandment to keep. And what is the how can we just require make this requirement of God? So we have to really connect it to our daily life now. So first, let's go through the Deuteronomy chapter 10. So what is the meaning of Israel? Because in the beginning it said, and now Israel. So the audience, this thing talk to the Israelites. Literally, it's a Israel. We can find the term from Genesis, right? So in Genesis chapter 32, in the story of Jacob, Genesis chapter 32, this is the first place God changed Jacob's name into Israel. So this name was chosen by God. God called him Israel. 32 verse 28. And he said, "Your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and has prevailed." So, for you have struggled with God and with men, and then you prevail. You overcome it. You receive the victory. So this name is carry a lot of meaning. God named Jacob Israel because this is what God wants him to do. Really prevailed. So prevail over men, we know, right? Because he can struggle with men and then win it, won the competition or whatever. But with God, how can we here say you have a power with God and you prevail it? So from the story of Jacob, we know how Jacob, he insisted to hold on God. He pleased God until God gave up. Okay, you win. Because he hold on God. He doesn't want to let him go. So this is called struggle. He have power. He have a strength over it. Struggle with God and then prevail. We know God is almighty. If God insisted, say no, Jacob have no way. But now God say you struggle with me, man. You prevail. We can see how God wants us to hold on him. You know, so this is called in this place, God changed his name as Israel. You think about the meaning. It's so important to us. If we can really get so close and to prevail and to know God's heart, then we have a good position. We know we have the right heart to deal with men. We know the interaction of personal relationship usually reflect how we have a relationship with our Father, our God. Okay, so if we can touch God, then easily we know how to deal with men, because this is the same principle. God give us the wisdom and power. So later in Genesis 35 verse 11, this nation, God changed the entire family. Genesis 35 verse 11. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiplied. A nation and a company of nations shall be of you, and kings shall come out of your loins." So this nation called Israel, because this is what God praised Abraham and praised Jacob. So this promise actually is a prefiguration about the coming of Jesus. The nation is a talking about the spiritual. This group of people, the company of people, they really can fulfill God's will. They really can carry out God's plan for the salvation. So in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. Today, Jesus, he came into this world to save us. Whoever believes in him will be adopted into this system as Abraham's seed and join into this kingdom of Israel. It's a spiritual kingdom. And this is what God wants to establish on the earth to carry out his salvation. So, has been called Israel. It's very important to us. We do have this commission. We have this responsibility to fulfill God's heart. Okay, so Israel is talking about every one of us. Now, what does my God require of me? We change the person into me, right? What does God require of you? Moses talked to the Israelites. Now, we ask ourselves, what does my God require of me? Then, when we read the Bible, we know what we're supposed to do. So we are not going to read the Bible for others, but read for myself. Okay? So, Genesis, Deuteronomy chapter 6, okay, we can put into, from this verse, we can see about five things, right? About five things. The first, to fear the Lord your God. To fear. So what does it mean to fear God? Isn't God so loving? God is love. So God is supposed to be very friendly. He is so welcome to everybody. So we can get close to him easily without fear, isn't it? But here he mentioned, fear the Lord your God. So what does it mean? First, fear God means we will depart from evil. So that's what this morning in Proverbs chapter 3 we read, right? In the morning Bible reading, Proverbs 3:7. Can someone read? Sister Brother. Proverbs 3:7. Samuel. Okay. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You can connect. Actually, there are so many verses, right? In Proverbs also, or Job, Job, Book of Job, 28, it's a similar message. Job 28:28. Book of Job 28:28, sister. Sister, anyone can read? If you find it and read. Okay. So unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and that to depart from evil is understanding. Connect always together. Fear God and away, depart from evil. So we nowadays, what is evil to us? Evil. We know evil, right? It's a murder, stealing, or it's a shooting. We know this is evil. But we are not going to do such things. But in spiritual speaking, what is the evil? What is the evil? If we consider about Proverbs chapter 1, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Away from evil, huh? Away from evil. Chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, consent not. If someone tries to entice you, say no. Then jump to verse 15. My son, walk not you in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. Depart from evil, we must have to set the first step, not to follow those evil paths. Someone may come to entice you, but we have to keep our heart first. Don't follow. This is how this society, this culture, try to entice everyone to follow their path. We know the destination, the end is destruction. It's death. But we has been called Israel. So just that's why Job, in the chapter 1, he has been greatly praised by God. You can see how God talked to Satan. Have you ever seen my servant Job? What was Job doing? In Job chapter 1, verse 1, he mentioned that the man fear God and shun from evil, depart from evil. So that's why Job, he always offer sacrifice for his children. Every time when they get together, the next morning, he offered sacrifice for them to purify, to remind them, you have to guard your heart. Don't curse God in your heart. Okay, so the point is, we fear God, we keep our heart. Even in heart, we never say bad things or have bad thought toward God. Our complaint somehow always come out from heart first. If our heart feel uneasy to God, then eventually our mouth will speak it out. So that's why someone may just say something which is not edified to others. Be careful. That's what God requires us, to fear the Lord your God. Okay, like another example is Abraham. Let's turn to Genesis 22. Abraham. This is another aspect about fear God. Abraham. Chapter 22, we know this is what God required of him to sacrifice, to offer his beloved son, Isaac. Right? Okay? Abraham, he followed. He followed the instruction of God. He just do it. Even though it's unreasonable, it's just doesn't make sense from a human logic. But actually, this is God's test. So in verse 12, now, the angel said, Brother Caleb, please read. Okay, you can see, you fear God. See, you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. So fear God means we offer to God what he wants. Obey God. It's called fear. Whatever God asks, we do it. So he fear not against God. Abraham, he did not argue with God. or negotiate with God. How about you want a son? How about another one? I have another son, right? But no, just beloved, this one I want. Just obey it. So fear God means we just listen and do it. Oh, fear God. So sometimes we may just lost this spirit of obedience. We tend to ask God why. Why? But here you can see no any argument say why. Or why I have to walk in such distance to a certain place to offer it. So obey. Keep our heart. This is called fear God. Second, to walk in His ways. So what are the God's ways? We have to know it, right? So God's way, in order to walk within all His ways. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So we have to know God's harvest, otherwise no way to walk all in His way. We may just walk in certain distance and then we turn aside to our own way. We say to walk in all His ways means we walk with God all the way to the end. So our heart must be close to God. So God's way, if we know it, is always good. So the way which is good and right in His sight. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's turn to this verse. Deuteronomy 6, 16 to 18. Deuteronomy 6, 16 to 18. Sister Felicia. Felicia, page 3, 16 to 18. So you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. If we know it, then we walk. But in reality, God always gives them a very clear commandment what to do. So our human perspective, actually we know it. Because God, He knows our limitation. He gives us very clear direction. So God's commandment is always clear to everybody, right? So by sending prophets, His workers, His servant, to deliver the message, so make sure everybody they can get it. But the problem is sometimes even though we know it, but we don't we are so reluctant to obey because we have our own idea. So do things which are pleasing in His sight. God's commandment is clear. So what God wants, if we really can walk in together, so this is a blessing. So in the history, who walked with God? Genesis chapter 5, Enoch. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, we can see how God special give him the instruction and inform him what God was going to do. Right? So prepare him, ask him to preach this message. And Noah, he just do it. Enoch, he just walk with the Lord. So because we don't have enough time to go through details, everything. You can consider, walk with God for 300 years, how did he spend his every day? You know, every day. How he spent time with God? It's every single hour, right? In COICC, every hour we have a schedule. Say if we just, there is no schedule, just make yourself, make you have a freedom. You decide what to do. So what is going to spend your time a day here? Right? Here. Well, we walk with God. Or we may just, this hour I pray, I do certain things. But the next hour I may do my own things to fulfill my desire. Okay. To Enoch, he's just everything by his own, right? God didn't give him declaration, but he just walked with God. So his heart, he know what pleased God. So he do it in his whole life. So we have learned so many teachings from the Bible. We heard so many seminars, sermons. I believe most of us we know what pleased God and what make God angry. So let's learn to walk in all his ways. Okay? Next, to love him. How to love the Lord for whom we do not see? Easier to say, right? But it's much harder to do it. To love God. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Keep God's commandment is first. If we say we love God, but we totally neglect or ignore what he commanded us to do, then it's a liar. We become a liar. So this is in First John. I think First John chapter 1, chapter 2. Let's turn to First John. In the to keep God's commandment. First John chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 3 to chapter 5. First John 2, 3 to 5. Brother Jeffrey. Let's make the love of God perfected in our heart by keeping his commandment. So to love God, keep his word. So the command to love God is a command to delight in him, to admire him above all else. To be content with his commitment to work mightily for his people. So, you know, God has his goal, right? God has his desire in his people. If we love God, then we will fulfill his heart. Not only keep, you know, sometimes we may passively, I do whatever you say. But can we do further, one step further, to fulfill his heart, make God's heart delight, so delight. We do extra for God. Actually, God, from this saying, is not but it's a correct, right? Actually, God grant us the power. Everything comes from God. And we just do our best. We just pay God what he has given us. So because by our own self we cannot do anything. Okay, so to love him. Now, let's think about circumcise our heart to cut off the filthiness. To love him. In Deuteronomy 30, in this verse, let's turn to love God, then we do need to get rid of the filthiness. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Sister Amber. Amber, 6. Okay. Here it says, God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, meaning the descendants, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart. So the first step is God will circumcise your heart. So today this circumcision refers to baptism. So actually by baptism, God removed all our filthiness, the iniquity. God forgive it. So now in Jesus Christ, we do have this ability. We have been granted this power to love our God with all our heart. It's possible. Because God already fulfilled what he promised. By water baptism, if we really appreciate what our Lord Jesus sacrificed for us, we have to repay it. Even though we cannot just do such a little things, we have no way to repay his love because the love is so great. But God just wants our heart. Okay, so to love him. So he who loves God must love his brother whom he has seen first. Otherwise, he is a liar. This is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. So I think you will also learn in when you study the 1 John. The next, number D said, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So what does it mean to serve God? To serve. So to commit ourselves to Jesus Christ in everything we do, whether it be work, play, relationship, sport, thought, any other activities. To commit ourselves totally, our totality to Lord Jesus. To serve him with all our heart. So, you know, nowadays, sometimes we have to really discipline ourselves. At the same, we are a student, right? We are supposed to fulfill our duty as a student to do our homework, do everything so edified in this stage, in this age. But we have to also consider to serve. So don't just use our schoolwork or our busy life as an excuse. I have no time. Sorry, God. Maybe 2 years later, 3 years later, I can do. But right now, I have no ability. Please excuse. If we know what God wants, to serve him, so with all your heart. So if we have this servitude, this willing heart, God will definitely give us change. So God will open a way for us. So even though we may be very busy in our school, but let's come out with this heart first. God will give us the chance to serve him. And through this, we experience how God is so wonderful. God, he can make those impossible become possible. So this heart will just grant us another experience about how God can make us life easier. So I always mention to our members, if we love ourselves more, then we will tend to busier than before. We will be occupied by all other stuff. But if we come up with a heart, no matter what I want to serve, then God will always open a way to make our work more productive, so we may use our time wisely, so our work have higher efficiency. So to finish a task or to do our homework is not a matter of how many hours you spend, you sit on your desk, right? But it's the efficiency. If you really have a good productivity, you can use 1 hour to finish about 3 hours work, if God help us. Right? So, because God can do it, God will allocate our times to serve, and at the same time, we experience. Because by serving, we are learning. We are also practice what God commands us. Without serving, the commandment or the knowledge we receive is not perfect. So in Chinese, we say, I forget that. When you serve, when you work, then you learn. Just like an IT teacher, when you teach student, you learn the lesson. So who receive the benefit the most? Those who teach. So I student may just receive some of your portion of your class, but you is the one who really receive the whole message. If you put your heart in this class, likewise, just like as an instructor, usually we have to spend time to study, to ponder the Word of God. So when we serve, we learn a lot. We receive a blessing, the same thing. Let's put it into the practice so we can really edify by God's Word. Number five. E, to keep the commandment of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. So what is the purpose of God's commandment? We return back to God's original intention. The commandment is not to restrict or to limit our freedom, but actually it's for our good. We are created. God is creator. He set us the boundary to receive the most, the best. So don't try to challenge God. Why, if you love me, why you give me the boundary? Right? If you give me the freedom, you're supposed to give me this freedom to do whatever I want. But no, that's wrong. Because he is higher. He is the Almighty. He knows what is good. But we don't know. So he gave us a boundary to walk. He set a path to walk in. Then if we do it, then we receive the best. Right? So commandment, the law, the statutes is spiritual. It's not the orderly regulation only, because God has his higher purpose behind. Our human being, we probably cannot see it. So Romans chapter 7, let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. Chapter 7, verse 12. Sister Joanna. Okay? So they have law is holy, commandment, the commandment holy, just, and good. Verse 14, continue. Okay. The law is spiritual. We know it. So that's why, if we keep it, it's for our good. We receive the spiritual blessings. And that's what God wants us to receive His blessing, His good. So if we can really keep His commandment, then whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandment. This is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And this is the love of God, that we keep His commandment. In 1 John, repeated in this teaching. If we love God, we keep His commandment. And this is what God requires, to keep His commandment and His statutes. Okay? The message in Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God.